Guam was bumped to the top of the news cycle last week by a very specific threat from North Korea, the announcement of a plan to set off a, quote, enveloping fire of test missiles. Saber-rattling by world leaders rarely goes into that kind of detail, with designated splashdown points and travel times for the missiles. Missiles North Korea is reportedly able to arm with nuclear warheads. We asked Jefferson Cronin, Morning Edition host at KPRG Guam Public Radio, to tell us how it feels to be there right now. Hi, Jefferson. Thanks for talking with us.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
You've heard threats addressed specifically to Guam before, but what's different about this one?
Well, it's the nuclear aspect that's different this time. We have been threatened by, specifically on a number of occasions already. And so this is a little different because of the nuclear aspect and because of the attention it's getting from around the world, probably due to the president's reaction to it.
Well, give us an outline, because a lot of Americans are sadly just finding out about Guam through this.
Sure.
What's the strategic importance here, geographically?
Well, they call us the tip of the spear. That's what the military, how the military refers to us here. We are the closest American soil to Asia. By air, we're about 4 hours south of Tokyo and about 4 hours east of Manila.
Mm-hmm.
And so that puts us. And so it's and you know, on Guam, we're kind of used to this. We're not just the threats, but the idea of being this outpost of the United States.
Yeah.
In World War II, Guam became the first substantially inhabited American soil to be conquered by a foreign power.
Mm-hmm.
And we still have plenty of people here who were prisoners and slaves during World War II. So there's a pretty defiant attitude here, while, of course, tempering that with concern.
One of the things about America in general is that it's often said about us is that, unlike European nations, we haven't had that experience of being occupied, as you said, enslaved. But Guam's different that way, isn't it?
Absolutely. And this is a still a fresh memory because it's part of the culture here.
Mm-hmm.
That generation is sadly mostly gone, although there are plenty of them still left. We had many people now who were those prisoners during the war were just children at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And they have grown up with this, and families have grown up with this. So it's interesting here. You know, we're used to natural disasters, typhoons, earthquakes, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And so we are prepared. As a matter of fact, the local Homeland Security just put out a pamphlet on what to do in case we are attacked by a nuclear weapon. So, we're getting prepared for it, but we're not just the attack, but the Guam attitude is we've got plenty of barbecue.
Well, Jefferson, those safety measures that you heard about, what kind of things are they? Because, some of us remember the duck and cover days, right?
Absolutely, I do. It reminds me so much of that.
Because I heard something yesterday where they're saying, stay away from windows in the event of a nuclear attack. Yeah, stay away from windows is probably not going to help all that much, right?
No. And they're saying, don't look into the flash because that can blind you. I have to say my attitude sounds like it's kind of like yours because I grew up in the Cold War right outside D.C.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
And the whole duck and cover thing and you want to survive a nuclear attack and you can. And here's how you should do it. That attitude, we practiced all that. My father was with the State Department. And I remember as a kid, he said to us, do whatever you're told to do, but realize that if it ever happens, you're going to see this big flash and you're going to go, what the and then it'll all be over, so don't worry about it.
Well, at you least, know? Yeah. But, you know, this whole thing of the whole duck and cover thing, I remember at the time as a kid thinking, well, you know, how is this wooden desk going to protect me, right? And
yeah, right, right.
I wonder about the value of false reassurance, you know?
You know, I think that may be a concern with some folks. I mean, from what I get from my conversations with people, the one extreme is near panic, and there are some people who are pretty freaked out, mm-hmm. But most are not. I think this whole idea, we have to be prepared, of course, mm-hmm. and the government is doing their best to reassure people. So there isn't panic and there isn't, lack of a measured response, maybe is a good way to put it.
Mm-hmm.
The mood is still very positive and upbeat here. And we're getting a lot of attention,
yeah,
from the, as well as from the United States, neither of which we're used to, I know in Hawaii, you know, being sort of left out of the loop is like.
Yeah, an island in the Pacific, right?
Right, right.
Yeah.
And so that's the way we feel most of the time. And now we're getting all this attention. We've got international pressure, and all of a sudden people are concerned about Guam, which is, you know, that's probably good for us in the long run. But we wish the circumstances were different.
Well, because of the circumstances and because of your past history as the tip of the spear, I suspect there's a very different consciousness there as far as these alarms and excursions, because you can't spend your life in a state of alarm, right? You have to.
Of course.
And you've been there before where you were the target of a threat. It's just the nuclear aspect and the specificity of the threat,
right,
that maybe move it up a notch.
Well, and the U.S. response,
yeah, yeah,
which is the key, I think, to the whole thing. People are asking this question a lot. Why is the president playing Kim Jong-un's game?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because he's feeding right into him. We know here that when he rattles his saber and threatens us, as he's done before, mm-hmm. it's really an internal political move. I mean, he's trying to solidify his own position politically, mm-hmm. Internally, and that's what he does. You know, he pokes the bear, mm-hmm. when tells his people that they're in danger from us, and that's one of the ways he keeps his own power there. And we know that,
mm-hmm.
And a lot of people know that, feeding into that gives him more credibility or more juice in his own political sphere, that's the big difference, is the response from Washington.
And if we didn't respond that way, it would just be more posturing.
As we've seen before. I mean, I think the nuclear aspect is the thing that is the key, the thing that is sort of got everybody unnerved.
Yeah.
Of course, rightly so. We have to be aware. We have to be concerned. We have to be on top of it. But, I think the U.S. military is on top of it. They know where these things are, and they know... You know, they know a lot more about it than they're ever going to tell us, you know.
Well, let's hope so, Jefferson, you know. It's really valuable to talk to you about this. I appreciate it.
It's my pleasure anytime.
We'll check in with you again as events develop, but thanks very much.
Oh, please do.
Jefferson Cronin is the Morning Edition host at KPRG, Guam Public Radio, as well as a professor of communications, English, and humanities at the University of Maryland University College Asian Division. He's lived in Guam for 23 years.